A big hi to all you Lucky Dippers.
Welcome to the fourth episode of The Lucky Dippers, the slow travels of the odd couple.
And when we say odd, we really mean odd.
Hi guys, I'm Nicole.
And I'm Rob.
And we're the Lucky Dippers. In this episode, we're going to talk to you about our first and last trip to Krakow, Poland, where we spent 2 weeks.
And if you hang on to the end of the podcast, you can find out what our favorite things in Krakow were.
So Krakow is actually in the south of Poland, and it's near Slovakia. A lot of people say Krakow, and it's sometimes spelled with a K or a C, but it's actually pronounced Krakow, at least if you ask the Poles. It is the second biggest city in Poland, and it actually has 762,508 people. It's really specific.
Yeah, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
We took the train from the airport, which cost us about 8 zloty each, and we used tram, train, and bus.
Also, it's zloty.
Zloty, that'd be right, yeah.
So the L with a dash on it, which is super Polish, is pronounced like a W. So their currency is zloty. We actually had two Airbnbs in Krakow. One was between the Old Town and Kazimierz, which is like the Jewish quarter. And the other one was just outside the Old Town on the west. So it's actually really good because we got to stay in two very different parts of Krakow.
Well, we actually learned from that because in our future travels, we have decided that we'll actually use, if we're there for 2 weeks, 1 week minimum in one place, say in the south of the city, and then we'll take the second week in the north of the city or east or west, so we can see different parts of what makes up the city.
Yeah, it's really interesting because Krakow is just one city, but it's almost like there are two side by side. So the Old Town is very West European, I would say. Like the way that, like the architecture there is really, it's like really grand, yeah. And Baroque. And the other side, Kazimierz, is the Jewish side. And well, the buildings are a little less, you know, maintained, but it does have a bit of an Asian feel. I kind of felt like, well, it's not quite as bad as some Asian cities, but I did think that there's a lot more street food, there's a lot more nightlife, for example, and there's a lot more locals on that side than there were in the actual Old Town, I thought.
Yeah, agreed.
Great. And so it was really nice to see both sides of it. There were a lot of things that we actually liked to do in Krakow. There was one day trip that we took from Krakow, which was to Oświęcim or Auschwitz. But I think we'll talk about that in another podcast, yeah. Because I think that just deserves an episode on its own.
So in the Old Town, we saw St. Mary's Basilica. Now, you're the one on the pronunciation, W-A-W-E-L, well.
No, wait, well, let's do the St. Mary's Basilica first. Right. So the St. Mary's Basilica is actually on Rynek Główny, which is the main square of Krakow. And I think it's probably my favorite church that we've seen so far. Because, I mean, from the outside, it's okay. There are grander churches that, you know, churches that look better from the outside. But on the inside, it is so intricate. It is gorgeous. Like the ceilings are, you can go in there and just look up for an hour and just be amazed by how beautiful it is, I think.
That was the one that has been designed so when the sun's setting, the sun shines in through that back door. And it goes on to
That's another one. See, the problem with these podcasts is, even though this was like a month ago, Rob has already forgotten everything.
Well, we've been to so many other places already.
Yeah, but we have to try and do these while we're actually still there.
Okay. So this is the one we went up the stairs.
We did. Two levels. We did. Yes, we did also go up the stairs. Yeah. So we really liked I like the actual basilica, the inside of it. Although I didn't like that you had to pay extra for a photo pass. Yeah. Like in order to take pictures, you need a special sticker, which fell off me. And this was me. This is when I went on my own. And yeah, I didn't like that because it fell off. And then I got asked by the guards several times. It's like, guys, I already paid. Here's a ticket. It's not my fault. Your sticker fell off. But I did also like the views upstairs because you get to climb up the actual, is it a bell tower?
Yeah.
Well, there's a tower there anyway. And you get to climb all the way up and you get really good views of the city, actually.
Yeah. A lot of these churches are.
Yeah, but what we didn't like was that it was a bit rushed. I don't know if it was just because we got there when they were closing, but yeah, we felt a bit rushed.
Yeah, I think we did leave a bit later.
Yeah, but it does. I'd say that that's probably where you can get the best views of Krakow from.
Yeah. Now, as far as me forgetting stuff, I am a bit of a Philistine. I mean, how many churches have we seen? How many castles have we seen? You know, I mean, after a while, you think, oh, no, not another one.
I thought St. Mary's Basilica was special. I think it's the most beautiful church that I've seen.
What about all the ones in Paris?
No, I didn't.
Notre Dame, that was beautiful.
Yeah, sure, it's beautiful, but it's not like the St. Mary's Basilica. I just don't like that a lot of those bigger, more popular churches have a really like somber look to them.
Yeah.
Like they're gloomy and it's dark and, you know, it's the age that they were built in. But the St. Mary's Basilica is grand. Everything's gold and there's, you know, the ceilings are painted and there are little alcoves where you can pray privately that are also, like, they could have been churches on their own.
Well, I must say what does stick in my mind with all the churches is how many have been commercialized.
And St. Mary's Basilica wasn't.
And it wasn't. Yeah. So, yeah. That was a real change.
So the other place was Wawel Castle. We didn't actually go inside because you're not allowed to film inside, and I had my camera and I wasn't allowed to take it in without I had to leave it with them, and I don't like doing that. It's an expensive camera. But we went there once and then I went back on my own just going around the outside because it's beautiful. Like you can't miss it because it's huge. And it's just that area is really nice. You get great views of the river. And I just really liked walking around.
There's history behind it as well.
But there's also like a little walking area and you kind of go through a bit of a park there.
Yeah.
And even in the winter, it was freezing when I went, but it was still beautiful.
Isn't that the castle that the king blew some of it up because he used to practice with the alchemy?
So the Wawel Castle used to be, who was it? I've forgotten the name of the king, but there was a Polish king that used to live there when Krakow was the capital of Poland. And one of his hobbies was alchemy. And he was, I don't know, trying to find the philosopher's stone or something. But one of his experiments went awry and he blew up part of the castle. Now, officially, that's not why they moved the capital away from Krakow. But the next thing you know, the capital is in Warsaw.
Oops.
Yeah. So I guess that was just like the final straw or something. So I don't suppose you'd remember what the clock tower is.
Yeah, was that the one in the center, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
it was also on the Rynek Główny. And I think that one wasn't really worthwhile doing.
Well, I remember thinking it was disappointing. The view was okay.
Yeah.
But nothing over the top.
Well, you climb so many stairs, and when you get up, the view is not as good as what you can get from St. Mary's Basilica because it's a bit obstructed and you're looking out through these windows. And
the stairway is very narrow.
Yeah, and there's like a little museum about the clock tower itself, but you know, it's not that interesting,
little,
I thought.
Little being the operative word. There was next to nothing there.
Tours while we were in Krakow, and the first one that we did was one of the old town, which is the more typically European part of the city. Unlike other cities that were completely decimated in World War II, like Warsaw, Krakow actually remained pretty much intact, which made for a very interesting walking tour because there were a lot of historical sites that had been preserved, basically.
What I thought was interesting about it was right in the center of the old town, there's a square and it's just full of tourist shops. I honestly doubt there's one thing made in the country, in Krakow or Poland, that they're selling there. I'm sure it's all from China. The other thing I thought was really interesting was one of the statues there, or sculptures, was a full head, I think it was. And the tour guide was telling us that there were people actually standing and sitting inside, their young kids, you know, teenagers. And he said they were game because he said at night the homeless people go in there and use it as a urinal.
Yeah.
And we're like, yeah. He said, do you want to go inside? Yeah, we'll pass on that one.
Yeah. Well, that sounds not so nice. But actually, when we first got to Krakow, we were actually in Kazimierz, and we didn't think that much of it. But then when we walked into the old town, and especially in the Rynek Główny, it was like, oh, wow, we didn't actually say. We intended to spend just 1 week in Krakow.
Yeah.
That was the plan. That's actually why we ended up booking 2 Airbnbs, because we had only booked the first one for 1 week. We saw the main square, and like a few hours later, we went home and we booked the second week. It was that good. Like, it was beautiful and huge. I think I remember from the tour that at one point it was one of the biggest square. It was the biggest square in Europe, but yeah, not anymore, I think.
Yeah, but I must say that by seeing the old town, it even gave us a better appreciation of the Jewish quarter.
Yeah.
I think because we knew we didn't have to rush. We took the second week.
Yeah.
We went back and really enjoyed Jewish quarter. I mean, the food that we had there was excellent.
Yeah.
And the ambiance, there's a big difference between how modern I think the old town was compared to the Jewish quarter, and you could see that the Jewish quarter did reflect how badly the Jews in that area were treated during the war. And the buildings do reflect it. There are bullet holes and whatnot in some of the buildings.
The old town is actually surrounded by what used to be a moat, and now it's no longer a moat. Now it's like, it's called Plenty Park, and it's just a small strip of a park, which wasn't so green while we were there in the winter, but I'm sure it's a lot nicer in spring. But yeah, it very clearly delineates the old town. One other highlight for me in the old town was seeing that I think it's a cloth hall. I forgot what it's called, but it's also on the main square. And it's that long, that long hall where, well, okay, now they have souvenir shops.
Yes.
Aplenty, but it used to be like a bunch of produce from different parts of the country.
I would have preferred it if it was like that still.
Yeah, that would have been nice. But it was still nice to see, like, they had a knife hanging there on the corner.
Yeah.
And that's like, that was as a warning, that served as a warning to people who stole.
Thieves, yeah.
or shopkeepers who, you know, tried to cheat their customers. So the second walking tour was of the Jewish quarter. And what I liked most about it was the street art. Now, there actually is a separate street art walking tour, but we just decided to have a look for them on our own because they were everywhere.
Yeah.
It's a lot of murals painted on walls.
And you could actually download a list of the street art to go visit.
Yeah. But definitely, I think both of our favorite parts of the Kazimierz or the Jewish quarter tour was all the food.
Yes.
There's a lot more food and a lot more street food in the Jewish quarter than the old town.
And very reasonably priced.
Yeah. The old town, of course, because it's nicer, it's prettier, there are a lot more tourists there, so the prices are also higher.
Yeah.
So we stayed in Kazimierz for the first week and we really enjoyed it. I think it's really good value for the money because when we stayed on the other side, which was just outside the old town, but to the west of it, the prices were a lot higher.
Yeah.
So I would actually recommend that people stay in Kazimierz. It's not that far away from the old town if you do want to go there.
And it's kind of cool to see the traditional Jewish people. I guess I can say traditional. They're walking around, they've got the hats on and they've got their braided beards
and hair.
And I mean, it's really like something that you've seen out of a movie.
Yeah, and I think that church that you were talking about, that was in Kazimierz one day when we were just walking around. I can't remember the church of it.
Spectacular.
Just watch our vlogs because we do have it on video. I just don't remember it right now.
But you remember how pretty it was with the sunlight. It was honestly amazing.
Yeah, so it was somehow built so that the sun would shine directly onto the altar, and it really did feel like a place of worship. Like you could really think that God was speaking to you.
Well, the altar, the area of the altar was all gold.
Yeah.
And the sun just shone right off it. It looked holy.
I mean, yeah, it was funny though because it's a Jewish quarter, but yeah, there were also churches. There were synagogues, but there were also churches.
Yeah.
It was a bit funny. We also went to, I don't think it was a walking tour, but I think part of the Jewish quarter tour also took us to Podgorze.
Yeah.
And Podgorze is past Kazimierz, so you cross the bridge. Oh, the bridge is also really interesting because it's a pedestrian and cyclist bridge. And there are these acrobats that are suspended on these wires on the bridge. So as you cross, depending on, you know, how many people are there, the bridge kind of shakes a little bit and it's just enough to make the acrobat statues
I'm glad you clarified that.
What?
That you said acrobat statues this time. They're not real acrobats.
No, they're not real acrobats. They're statues. But yeah, they're like bouncing a little bit. That was nice.
When I was walking across the bridge, they bounced a lot. But
well, it was nice. And the bridge is like all lit up in purple lights. So it's even nicer at night, I think.
Yeah.
And then on Podgorze, there wasn't as much to see, like it's not as lively as Kazimierz, but one of the things that we did see there was the Schindler's Factory. So there's a bit of a, I don't really want to get into it because it seems there's a bit of a controversy regarding it.
Well, according to the Polish people, Schindler's List movie does not really portray the actual facts about Schindler.
Yeah, so I think in the movie, Oskar Schindler was like a hero.
Yeah.
Like he did it, you know, out of the goodness of his heart, basically. But the Polish people, or at least the people that we spoke to, at least our tour guide, didn't quite share the same thought.
And he did point out that it wasn't actually Schindler that added the names onto the list.
Yeah.
It was the people working for him. But let's put that aside.
It was still interesting to go there. It's not something that we feel that we're really qualified to comment on.
But we did anyway.
Yeah. Well, we don't know. I don't know if he was a hero or not, but it was still interesting to be there to see the same factory from the movie because I did watch it. The other cool thing there was the chair monument, which was really eerie at night because it was a nighttime walking tour.
It was sad.
Yeah, so the chair monument is just this big square, and the history behind it is that during the Second World War, all the Jews and Poles and people that were eventually sent to concentration camps were told that they would come back. And so they were told to arrange like all their things on that square. And some people brought out their furniture because they thought they were moving to another place. But they weren't actually moving. And in the end, it didn't matter because most of them were executed. But it was just part of the whole Nazi psychological war games to make them think that they were going to a new home. So when the time came for them to go, they were taken without most of their belongings. And so a lot of the furniture was left there. And even the people, the Jews who had left their furniture in their houses, got those things stolen eventually, and people took them and put them in the square, and a lot of them went missing and ended up in some Nazi families' homes. So it was very sad. And the monument is actually, I can't remember, it was like 88 chairs or something, a lot of chairs anyway,
made of metal. Number for them. I forget exactly what it was about.
I think it was something like there's one chair for every, I don't know, 1,000 Jews or Poles that were sent to a concentration camp. And that chair is facing the direction of where they were sent. Something complicated like that. But it's just a square with a bunch of empty chairs to represent Poles and Jews who will never sit on them again.
It was very sad. There were quite a few things in Poland that we saw that were like that.
Yeah.
When, speaking of tours, when did we do the heebie-jeebie tour?
Oh, yeah.
Did you forget that?
No, that wait, was that in Warsaw?
Let me call in the adjudicator. Oh, wait. I was right.
Yeah. Okay, we forgot about it. It is, we did three walking tours, and the third one was a macabre walking tour.
Did you say macabre?
Macabre walking tour.
Yeah. What's this? We forgot, Paleface. Well, you forgot.
We made the list.
You made the list.
So we went on this walking tour, macabre walking tour. And it was by the same, it was because the same guy that did our old town tour.
Whom we enjoyed.
Yeah, he was really, really good. Also did this other tour. And it was some, I think it was like 8 p.m. The tour was at 8 p.m. And it was such a cool premise. So it was all about like serial murderers that had lived or hunted, I guess, in Krakow. And then he talked about executioners, like hangmen, as a basically the profession of hangmen.
Yes.
Hangmaning?
The hangman, the executioner.
Yeah. That was really interesting because I've never talked to someone who knew so much about executioners and their families. And he told us that although being an executioner was very well respected in Krakow, it was also a bit like, it was also a lonely profession because nobody really wanted to marry an executioner.
And then what happened was executioners that did get married had children. Quite often their children would marry executioners from another village or town.
Yeah. It was really interesting. And it ended in this reenactment of one of the murders that had happened at the hands of a serial killer. I don't even remember the name of the serial killer.
But it was a good finish because our tour guide had an accomplice.
Yeah, we turned the corner.
Don't give too much away because if you do it, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. It is really fun. Definitely watch our vlogs to see what that was like, because we'll show you there. But that was one of the more unique walking tours that we've done.
And just pointing out, that was the same thing as the other tours, the free walking tours. So you only give as much as you think the tour was worth.
Yeah.
Okay.
One thing we didn't do in Podgorze was the Krakos Mound. Don't know what, we just didn't get to it. We always think this though. We think it's 2 weeks and we have a lot of time. But there's still things that we don't get done. I wish, I would have liked to have seen that. The Krakos Mound is basically, I guess, a small hill that I think they built. And the legend is that the king, Krakos?
Yes.
Is his name Krakos?
Yes. Krakos.
The king is buried there, but they believe that it's not actually true. It's just an urban legend.
Or is it?
But we never got to it.
Yeah.
I would have wanted to do that. But definitely one of the best things to do in Krakow is just to walk around.
Yeah, yeah. It was a lot of fun in Krakow.
Yeah. And the food. One thing that we, because Rob and I eat pretty much anything. Okay, well, I eat pretty much anything. Rob eats a lot of things, but
just
no
like seafood.
Yeah. But neither of us really drinks that much. We do drink, like it's not like we're abstaining or anything, but we're not big drinkers. And we've definitely never been fans of vodka.
No, we're not fans of any spirits. We really aren't.
Yeah.
I mean, once a year, I'll have sake.
Yeah.
Go to a Japanese restaurant where I'll have
beer. That's always a fun experience. Yeah. On my end, watching Rob get all giggly and unable to walk through doors.
For somebody who doesn't care for spirits, I just like sake. I have no idea why.
But if you're going to try something in Poland, you've got to try the vodka. It's such a big part of the culture. And so we went to a place called Szambelan, where they did vodka tastings. And of course, you can buy vodka there as well.
And we did.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. Loved it.
Yeah. It's a really cool little shop. If you see a picture of it, it does not look like, it didn't look like what I thought would have a vodka place would have looked like, because it was bright and it was colorful, and the vodka that they sold, I never realized there's so many different varieties of vodka.
Well, I grew up in Australia, and I can say I've only ever seen the white or clear vodka. It looks like water. Smirnoff.
Smirnoff.
And when we went to this place, there was cherry, there was chocolate, there was coffee, peach, apricot.
Yeah.
I mean, I could not believe it.
You really liked the peach one.
I did.
My favorite one was a chocolate vodka,
which I liked as well.
Yeah. And it actually reminded me a lot of Bailey's.
But it's deadly, because you have it just like Bailey's. You think, oh, that's nice. I'll have another one.
It's pretty strong.
You're talking like 26% up.
Yeah, we were worried when we bought the bottles. We bought like a 200 milliliter bottle for one, and for both of them, they were 200 milliliters. And we thought, oh, we're not going to be able to bring it on the plane. We need to get it down to 100 at least. No, they're both gone.
Yeah.
before the 2 weeks was up. It was good.
If you hadn't restrained me, I would have finished them both off the first night, I think.
So we also went on a food tour. Now, the food tour, I don't know. I thought that it wasn't worthwhile, but then I feel bad about saying that because
the lady was awesome.
Because I think the reason that it wasn't worthwhile was because that was towards the end of the 2 weeks. So we had already spent 2 weeks in Krakow, and we had gone, basically all of the foods that she introduced us to, we had already had. And we had even gone to some of the exact same places.
We did.
So every time we went to a place, she's like, does anyone know this? And we're like, yeah, we've tried this a few times, actually.
Well, actually, you said that. I said nothing.
Well, she asked. I'm going to answer.
Me. I know.
So we also really like the food truck parks that we mentioned that are scattered all over Kazimierz.
Yes. Yeah. I thought they were better than other places we've been to. Yeah, the food, the quality of the food was great. And the friendliness.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, the guys, they were terrific.
Yeah, it was really cheap, too.
It was cheap, yeah.
One of our favorite things was not actually from a food truck, but from, I forget it. There's a square that's in Kazimierz. And it's like, they say it's a square, but the center is actually circular. And they have these like little windows, little stalls of food, and they sell this thing called zapiekanka. Zapiekanka is like a Polish pizza. It is a bit like pizza, I guess, but the dough is a bit like, it's really crispy.
Yeah.
And it was extremely
good
and cheap.
Yeah.
And you can have, I think Rob had a Mexican thing on it.
Spice.
Yeah, it was excellent.
I must say, dude, this reminded me of somewhere else we ate there.
Where?
On the first night. They recommended you like
pierogi. Oh, pierogi. Okay, so we really liked the food in Krakow in general. It was very high quality. But the pierogi was not as good as Gdańsk.
That little old lady in that little shop.
Yeah.
It was recommended by the Airbnb owner.
It was tiny. It was like two tables. That was it. And you know, I thought that was a good sign because it's like a locals hunt.
Yeah.
We're like, yeah, we're going where the locals are, except that there was nobody there.
That was our first clue.
It was super cheap, so no problems with that. But the food was a little funny.
Yeah.
And she stared at us the whole time. And she she had to go outside to break our change.
And it wasn't a big note.
No, I mean, it was so cheap. Yeah, that wasn't so great. But a place that you did like in particular was called Chłopskie Jadło. Chłopskie Jadło.
Ah, yes.
And
Jurek. It's Jurek.
Jurek.
Jurek in the bread.
So Jurek is a sour rye bread soup. That's funny.
Which they had a sourdough, like a bun. It's very hard on the outside. They cut the top off, take out the bread inside, and then pour the soup into that. And I've got to tell you, that was great. Seriously. Not only did I eat the soup and the bread inside the bread, I ate the whole bread thing itself. I don't know if you're meant to, because it's like a substitute bowl.
Yeah.
But I ate everything.
Yeah, I'm sure you can eat it.
Right, the way they looked at me, I think they were grateful to get another spoon back.
Rob really liked Jurek. I mean, so did I, but he really liked it. And he ordered it in pretty much every place.
Yep, I really did it. I really liked it. And it's got the white Polish sausage in it. It was really nice.
Yeah. Excellent. Oh, yeah, so the soup also has the sausages. Yeah, that's right. We also went to a place called Domowe Pszis. Okay, these places are hard to pronounce. Domowe Pszismaki. And Rob ordered, surprise, surprise, Jurek.
Yes.
I ordered the best potato pancakes I had eaten in Poland. And pretty good kompot. And kompot is like a watered down sort of juice. The one I got was like strawberry. It was excellent. But would you say that the Jurek at Domowe Pszismaki was better than Chłopskie Jadło?
Yes, I would.
Really?
Yeah.
Better than the one in the bread?
Oh, I see you're saying. No. No, the one in the bread...
was the best.
The combination bread just makes it so much better. At some point, I'll do videos for some of the things I cook. But since we've been back, I've done a potato and leek, which I put into the bread roll, just like they serve the Jurek.
Yeah.
And it just changes it. It really does.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. The other restaurant that I really enjoyed was actually not even... it didn't even sell Polish food. It's the Balkan Express Grill. And we stumbled onto it really by accident. We went down a dark alleyway.
By the way, it was pouring rain.
Yeah, we were seeking shelter. We were accosted by this woman. Okay, accosted might be an exaggeration. But she was very enthusiastic.
Yeah.
And she didn't speak any English. And my Polish is not great. Even when I was there, it wasn't great. And she was trying to get us to go to this place. And we were like, okay. But it wasn't right there, so we had to follow her. So we followed her through another alleyway into this bigger courtyard,
then down
up stairs. A flight of stairs, then down a flight of stairs.
Up again.
Yeah, it was okay. We were like, maybe we shouldn't have followed some stranger into dark alleys, but it was great.
It was great.
So it's they sell Balkan food, I guess, and what we really liked was the ćevapi. So ćevapi is just meat, like I guess sausages, and this really yummy bread. It sounds so simple though, but it was really good.
But you have to remember, a lot of the Polish foods are based on what the peasants cooked.
Yeah.
And the peasants didn't have a lot, so they made them do with whatever they had.
Yeah.
So there is meat because they had the meat from the farms. There was bread from the wheat. You know, there was potato and a lot of things. But they really made the best use of what they had.
Yeah. Okay, let's get through these quickly. People and culture, what do you think?
I think that the people are nice enough. But I think from a cultural point of view, you can still see very much the communist influence.
Mm.
I'm amazed with the Polish people about how throughout their history, they keep getting knocked down and they just keep getting up again.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that about them. I admire them. I really do.
Yeah.
We've been through Gdansk and now Krakow. And I must say that the things that we've learned about the war and their history going back hundreds of years, you've got to admire the Polish people. You really do.
Yeah. And one thing that I did notice, though, not just... this isn't something confined to Krakow, but just Poland in general. But it is very... it is a very samey culture. Like it's homogenous.
Yeah.
There's really just the one culture. There's Polish culture. A lot of the people don't speak a second language. And if they do, it's sometimes not English. It could be German. So that's not a bad thing. But it is hard to find someone who speaks more than Polish. And you do get the feeling that they're not that used to foreigners living there and not speaking the language.
I got the feeling the older people weren't even interested.
Yeah,
the younger people, yes.
Yeah.
But you've got to put yourself in their shoes and see where they've come from and what they've lived through. And I think they're just so excited and happy to be living in a country that's free now. They really don't care about it. That's just, they want to enjoy their lives. I get it.
Yeah. So architecture-wise, it was very different from Gdańsk. Yes. Gdańsk was very Dutch. There were a lot of Dutch engineers that had been imported, basically, because Gdańsk is by the sea. And so they needed help, like, damming the waters, basically. But Kraków was not like that. It was more, I don't know what it was exactly, but it was very different. It was a mix of the two cultures, the very Western and very Eastern European influences. And that really showed in the architecture, for sure.
Well, don't forget that their history, there was German influence, strong German influence, strong Austrian influence, and strong Soviet influence.
Yeah.
And to a lesser degree, French.
Yeah. Very interesting city, country. The climate? Now, this is hard because we had just been to Gdańsk and it was really cold there, but there was a cold snap in Europe. So I don't know if that colors it a bit. Kraków was definitely warmer than Gdańsk.
It was definitely warmer. We had quite a bit of rain when we were there and we still had ice and snow. And snow.
Yes, we did.
But nowhere as bad as Gdańsk.
Yeah, Gdańsk was negative 16. In Kraków, it was like, maybe negative 5.
Yeah.
And not for summer. As long. But it didn't last as long as it did in Gdańsk. And by the end of the trip, we actually weren't even wearing our big parkas anymore.
No.
I thought, what about safety?
I felt very safe.
I felt safer in the old town than in the Jewish quarter area. Also, it has a lot to do with the lights as well. Mm-hmm. Like, the old town is lit up. It's for tourists. And it's all very... Yeah, it's really for people who don't live there, which is sometimes a bad thing. And we try not to go to those places that have a lot of tourists. But at the same time, it's really sanitized and a lot safer. I felt a lot safer. In Kazimierz, there are dark alleys. And there are people who are just coming home from partying or on their way to parties. You wonder if they're drinking.
But you've got to look, it's funny. You've got the Jewish quarter, which you tend to think of the Jewish people as being quite reserved, religious, that sort of thing.
No.
But the party part of Kraków is the Jewish quarter.
Yeah, it's funny.
The people are out there all hours of the night. They're like 10 o'clock. They're just starting to, they're just hitting their straps. We're ready for bed, but they were just hitting their straps.
Yeah. So I wouldn't say it was unsafe, but certainly I thought twice about bringing my expensive DSLR camera and walking around on my own at night.
Yeah, I wouldn't have had an issue with it for myself.
For me, would you have had an issue?
But I don't like you walking around that out in the night.
Yeah,
anyway,
but for example, you would let me do that in Maastricht.
Yeah, it's true.
So just by that fact, there is a difference.
Well, yeah, yeah.
You do also subconsciously feel it then. It's also because, obviously, Poland is a poorer country than, for example, the Netherlands. And, like, it's not like by Asian standard, Southeast Asian standards. But you do notice that people are a little bit more careful with their money. And although we didn't experience anything bad at all, like, nothing threatening, no instances of that at all, you do feel it that you're a lot richer, a lot wealthier and luckier than a lot of the people that live there on a daily basis.
But perhaps the way you feel is more an insecurity on your behalf or on our behalf than it is on the actual reality.
Well, I do tend to be a bit more paranoid, and you do tend to be a bit more lax.
Well, yeah. When we go to the Philippines and you think it's terrible, I'm okay.
Yeah. But I think it's good to get both perspectives. Yeah. But yeah, in general, it's pretty safe.
Yeah.
We didn't have any issues with that. Favorite thing?
Jurek and bread.
Really?
Yeah.
God, you just, I mean, it was good, but like your favorite thing in all of Krakow.
Is this coming from the woman pierogi?
That's not my favorite thing here. But you talk about your favorite thing.
No, well, I just really, really enjoyed it to the point where I've incorporated a very similar theme in my own cooking now, my cooking repertoire. I just like the combination. I like the novelty. But this, and the Polish sausage, the white Polish sausage, was excellent tasting. I'd never had it before. And it's a good basic food. So, yeah, I just thought it was great. I also like the... Zapiekanka, yeah, that was also good. I guess an honorary mention. And I must
this
say,
isn't favorite food, this is favorite thing.
Yeah, okay, well, look, there were quite a few things there that I did enjoy. Yeah. As an example, I think you have to give a mention to the free walking tours. Our guide on the two that we did, in particular, the one guide that did the day and the night tour.
Yeah, that
was really good. I mean, it was just riveting just to listen to what he had to say. So, okay, so my favorite thing, the food thing I'm going to say was Jurek.
Oh, we're doing a food and a normal thing.
Yeah, and, okay. And once again, as in Gdansk, I think the whole history of the city, it was my favorite thing about it.
And in Krakow too?
And in Krakow too, it was in both of them. I thought Schindler's List was just amazing. I thought
Schindler's Factory.
Schindler's Factory. Yeah. Sorry, but the actual story behind that list.
To
hear that as opposed to what you see in the movie. It's fascinating. And as sad as it was, Auschwitz. As sad as that was something that I think everyone from the Western world should have to go visit.
But we will talk about that in another podcast.
I'm just saying, yeah. So you've got my thing.
Yeah. So since we're doing a favorite food.
No, only me.
What? I get to do it too. My favorite food related thing was the vodka tasting.
Yeah.
Not because I like the vodka so much, although I did like it, but it's still not. I'm still never going to be a big drinker, but I just like the whole experience. It's a family run affair. It's a tiny shop. The shopkeeper didn't speak English.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if you remember, but it was pretty much just us. There was a big group that was leaving as we came in.
Yeah.
And so it was just us in the shop. And I got to really talk to her in Polish. You know, I did my little introductory script that I memorize and say to everyone. And we carried on a conversation, and she was a lot nicer after she realized that I wanted to learn Polish.
Yeah.
And it was just a real nice interaction with a local.
Do you know what it was reminded me of?
What?
When we went to Kauda, the cheese
Kauda.
Factory. Kauda, yeah. That interaction with the lady who ran the cheese farm.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but it's something about being in a country and speaking to someone in their language, you know, and she's selling something that's very important to Polish culture, vodka. I just felt like, yes, there's a connection here. You know, I'm talking to her in broken Polish, like horrible, horrible Polish. But she understood. You know, I just feel like when you get to that point, you just have to know some words. And it's enough. It's enough to convey your appreciation for her culture, for what she's doing, for her products. And she got it, you know. It was just a good moment of connection.
Yeah.
So that's my favorite, like, food-related thing.
So that's it now.
No! You got to do two.
I'm older.
So my favorite thing was St. Mary's Basilica. I don't know why you seem very, like, ho-hum about it. Like, it's just another church. No, it was amazing! Like, we went there together, and I went back on my own because I couldn't get enough of it.
Well, this confirms that you are the odd part of the odd couple.
No, the couple is odd. I'm not odd. It's the combination.
You run with that. You go with that.
But it was gorgeous.
Yeah.
I, yeah, I don't know, you just have to see it. And despite the fact that it's a really touristy thing, like there are guards there and everyone in it is a tourist, I usually don't go for that kind of thing. And I mean, it's a church. I don't like churches in general. I'm not religious, but this was worth going to. And I'm not sure why it's not as popular as like the Notre Dame or the Sacré-Cœur or you know, the Duomos in Italy. Like, this is not mentioned. I don't know why. Because it's so beautiful. It deserves to be there. Everything is gilded. It's just such a joyous way to decorate a church. It's not dark and dreary. We're all going to go to hell. It's like, no, rejoice. Because we're all here and it's a community event. And I don't know. I really, really like that.
What? We'd like to thank our alien for her input.
No. But anyway, that was my absolute favorite thing in Krakow.
Thank you for listening to our ramblings. We are trying to publish weekly podcasts. It's a lucky dip as to what next week's content is. But tune in to find out.
In the meantime, check out our vlog, Lucky Dippers, on YouTube. And I also have a Lucky Dippers Instagram account.
In addition, there's my Shoot That Gator Instagram account. For those of you who watch Swamp People, there's a bit of a reference there.
Yeah, that's Rob's.
I also have a podcast, Rob's Have a Chat, where I discuss random things. In my initial podcast, I discussed how I've lost just about 20 kilos in the past 5 months.
Thanks for staying until the end. And until next time, happy lucky dipping.